This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello, everybody. Chris Hamden here. You know, the guy off back of the nest, that thing you're listening to right now. You will have noticed already that this is not a regular podcast. I didn't want you to have nothing for the review this week, although you may decide that nothing would have been better. I think there's a number of reasons why there's not a regular review show to this on this particular occasion. Obviously, you all saw the game, as did we, and I don't think reliving it is in anyone's mind right now. And I think, in all honesty, if I might be a bit serious at the moment, that's sometimes the difficulty with the review show, in the sense that we have to react very soon after things, and quite often we find ourselves saying things that we might not even agree with ourselves, and it's, in the circumstances, it's very difficult not to be reactionary to what we've seen. Obviously, those of you on social media and on message boards and what have you would have noticed it's been a very strong reaction, and rightly so, when you lose to your biggest rivals as they currently are. Although, you know, sometimes it doesn't really feel like the rivalry is what it used to be, I guess. So, as a really loud plane goes off in the background, which I sincerely hope you hear, I wanted to make sure that I gave you something this week, even though, like, as I say, it might not be as good as absolutely nothing. So, first of all, we really didn't have a way of getting a team together to review it with a producer in a reasonable time. So, by the time we could have done it, it would have been time for the Love Sports show, which obviously goes out live 7 to 9pm on a Tuesday night. So rather than be repetitive, the main review will be part of, it'll be in that first hour of the Love Sports show, which will be out as a podcast shortly afterwards. It'll be, at the very least, it'll be DR and Nick with Johnny Burrows this week. I may be there, depending on work. I might not make it, unfortunately. We'll see what happens.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. But I do want to address a few things, because it has been a really strong reaction, and there are, you know, plenty of talking points to go into. But obviously I'm on my own, and it can get very, very weird if I start trying to have a debate with myself of any kind. I started to giggle a bit there in immaturity, but I've stopped myself. The first thing I wanted to really mention was, obviously, there's been a lot of grief going Rory's way. You know, I'm very frustrated with what I saw. It's not been the first time this season at home that we've seen a struggle to break teams down. It seems very easy for teams to come to Selhurst Park, set themselves up to defend and squeeze the space, and we don't seem to know what to do about it. It's been a problem for a fair while now. I think what I would say with Roy Hodgson is you get consistency, so there's a real upside to that, and we talked a lot about that last week. There's a huge positive in having a manager who makes sure his players are well drilled, they know their roles within a team, they know exactly what's expected of them, and primarily they focus on retaining shape when out of possession. However, when your opponent hands you possession, as Brighton did and as many teams have done this year to us, particularly at home, I think we don't quite know how to deal with that. And it's noticeable at times, particularly when we're broken against from a compact team, that our lack of width constantly leaves the fullbacks isolated. Now, if you're a superhuman robot like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, doesn't seem to matter. But over on the other side, you know, Patrick Van Aanholt's been having one hell of a time this season, often having his defensive throughout he's shown up. So look, it's been a really tough thing to watch. It shows the negative side of how, you know, Roy has the team set up and how he coaches the team. But to be quite as disrespectful as some people have been seems a little bit distasteful to me. I'm quite happy to point out we're the second worst team in the Premier League at home, but you can't solely use that as a reason to abuse the manager and demand he's sacked if you ignore how good we are away from home, because he's responsible for both. You can't have a manager who manages you at home and a manager who manages you away, so it's a little bit nuts, really. I think there were some key problems in the way we set up, particularly the midfield. I think when you look at how Jeffrey Schlupp played, how James McArthur played, those two in particular really struggled to have any real impact on the match. You know, their movement, their passing seemed to slow us down in the middle of the park. We became very ponderous throughout the game as a result of a number of different players kind of resisting the urge to do anything kind of dramatic or take any real risks. And again, that's something of a fixture of Roy Hodgson's tactics. But I think it's important to... I believe that Jake Kouyaté was struggling for fitness, and that's why he wasn't selected. So again, you know, Roy's hands were a little bit tied there. But you go back to the whole Max Meyer debate and whether or not he, in certain key areas, playing in for where Jeff Schlupp was or where James McArthur was, whether he would be the type of player who could occupy the huge amount of space that's left in the centre of the park between our forwards and the midfield. So really, look, an incredibly disappointing game. And at the very least, we expect as Palace fans is for the team to be up for the fight. I think in both games against Brighton this year, we've been woefully short. We've gone out onto the pitch and we've tried to play at this regular pace. We've tried to play, you know, with, you know, sort of cool heads. And I'll be honest, you understand the logic of that. You understand a manager sending his team out and saying, look, don't get overawed by the occasion. Play your game, play your natural game and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't work in every derby. We've seen it twice this season. And you have to get the team fired up. They have to match the intensity of the opposition and the dedication of the opposition. You know, I despise Lewis Dunk, but he was everywhere in defence for Brighton. He's thrown himself in front of everything. And then you watch Anthony Knockhart's goal, if you can bear to watch it, and we just let him shoot. You know, and Patrick Van Aanholt will take stick for that. I think James Tompkins, for the first we conceded, will feel very unfortunate with the way the ball was hanging up in the air with the wind. But at the same time, it's still an error, you know, despite the finish from everyone's favourite old man, Glenn Murray. So we got ourselves back into it, but it wasn't enough. What I guess is probably the most frustrating thing and why people are quite so annoyed with Roy is, you know, he was quoted saying before the game started that, you know, he didn't quite understand the rivalry from a fan's perspective. But unfortunately, the full conversation was much more sensible and revealing than that, when you just pick that one quote. Because what he was saying was, when he grew up in Croydon, it wasn't a thing. So he didn't understand the rivalry because it didn't exist. But he was making it very clear that he does understand what it means to the fans and players. Unfortunately, that didn't really bear out in how we went and approached the game. And secondly, after the game, he's talked about the fact that, you know, if you argue it's a bad, poor performance, and the fact that we didn't make the best of our chances and didn't create the best opportunities, then yes, it's a poor performance. And what he's saying in that, I think it's pretty obvious, is that there were statistically and, you know, performance data reasons for, you know, for him saying it actually wasn't that bad a performance. And I don't think, as fans, I don't think we want to hear that. We are results driven, that's true. We react to results more than we react to performances, although it's not true in every case. But I think what we want to see from a manager in reaction to losing a derby game, or losing the second derby game of the season, allowing Brighton to beat us twice in the league in a season, we want to see a much more visceral reaction than that. I don't think Roy's ever going to give you that, but you know, it's a difficult thing to take. So there you go. I won't get into any more detail on that, but very disappointing performance. And you know, it hurts to lose to Brighton. But it is important to retain a degree of perspective. You know, there's certain things that have happened both in the news and to people I know this week, and you just think, okay, you know, ultimately it hurts, but it's still football, and it's still, when you look at it, it's 3 points. You know, annoyingly, we've given them 6 points this season. That's probably, those 6 points will keep them up, if you think of it that way. So doubly annoying, but you know, basically we lost a game of football in the Premier League. You know, we won games that we wouldn't have thought we'd have won this season. So ultimately, it doesn't really mean anything other than a great degree of bragging rights. And if they want to celebrate, like, it's a massive achievement, fair enough. But it's nothing to, you know, beating them for the first time at their new ground in the league. It's nothing to knocking them out of the playoffs at their place. It's you know, our achievements against theirs, it's just not comparable. And, you know, part of me hopes we get them in the cup this year. And when it actually matters, we really do show we are the better team. Although, of course, part of me fears that wouldn't be the case. Anyway, I've been going on for quite a while now, so I'll wrap this up. But just a quick nod to the news in the paper. Well, I don't think it was paper, I think it was Bloomberg news this week that apparently the club is up for sale. Whether that means the club as a whole or just the stake from Blitzer and Harris or whatever is not abundantly clear. But I, personally, I don't think that's news as such. Maybe it is, but I think anyone would suspect that for the right offer, the club would be available for sale. I wasn't expecting long-term investment from those US investors. They are quite clearly people who invest to make money, and you can't really do that long-term in a football club. So they're looking to cash in on whatever value has increased for Crystal Palace since they got involved, and I don't think too many people would be unhappy at that. But you know, again, that seems a little bit disruptive. But you know, who knows what the future holds? But I think, you know, a lot of anger about at the moment, and it's difficult to be rational at this point in time. So anyway, I'll shut up now. Apologies for the monologue. Hope some of you enjoyed it in some form. So check out the podcast or indeed join the team live on Love Sport Tuesday 7 till 9. And of course, Terence, Albert and Sam will be back for the preview pod, which we'll give you a little teaser for just after this. So thank you very much. We'll be back to normal service next week. Unless we lose about 12-0 to Watford, I don't know. But no, fingers crossed, everything will be back to normal next week. Thank you very much. Cheers, bye.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast.
Hello, lovely listeners. It's Terence from the Preview Podcast here. And the games are coming thick and fast at the moment. And next week, we are playing Watford in the FA Cup quarterfinal. Join me, Albert Curley and Sam Hesketh from Thursday nights on all your good podcast outlets to listen to the preview for the game.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.